Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that have been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, performance enhancement expert, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is heard in over 46 countries, such as the U.S., India, Canada, France, Australia, Panama, and India, like I said, and Israel. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing, highlighting those transformational moments that change our lives, and how we're using these two aspects to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. Now, you can listen to us every Wednesday and on the first and third Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. However, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have amazing, amazing guests that have a book launch, product launch, something amazing that they want to promote. And that is why we are here today to promote my very awesome guest. And so if you have any questions for our guests that you hear on the show, this is a live show if you're catching us at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can call us in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. You can call in, chat with the guests, tell us what you're thinking, feeling, and answer any questions that you may have. You can also join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, TuneIn, and the Google Play Music app. Now, help me welcome to the show, Scott Simmons. What is up, brother?
Yeah, I'm very happy to be here. That was a great intro to your podcast. Congratulations.
Ah, thank you, man. Dude, I am beyond words, dude. Like, I am super, super pumped to have you on my show. I mean, I've been following you for a while. I love what you're doing, and I cannot wait to just dive right in, man.
Let's do this. I'm ready too.
So the episode is titled Daily Health Habits with Scott Simmons. Scott's mission is to inspire a daily practice of health. To fulfill this mission, he created three social businesses. In 2004, he co-founded the – now you have to help me with some of these names because I know we talked about these, but it's the Padua, right?
Exactly, the Padua Center,
yep.
Exactly.
Padua Center, yep. A community wellness center offering meditation, yoga, and group dialogue sessions. In 2006, he co-founded Desta Black Youth Network, a nonprofit organization helping marginalized youth aged 18 to 25 get back on track. 2006, he founded Organic Corporate Health, a wellness broker company specializing in offering on-site services that make health and wellness accessible for employees. Beyond creating and developing inspiring projects, Scott has contributed to health as a yoga teacher, a personal trainer, and health coach since 2006. According to Scott, his greatest source of inspiration has been found in the daily practices of health. Now, you can locate him on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. His email is in the show notes and LinkedIn. And the business is Organic. You got to help me out with it. Sente? What is it? Organic Sente Cooperative?
Cooperative. Organic Santé Cooperative. That's pretty much organic corporate health in French.
Yep. Got it. That's what I was like, I don't
know. From Montreal.
Yeah. So,
I'll take care of the French stuff.
There you go, man. So you're in Quebec, right?
Yep, in Montreal, Quebec, exactly.
Perfect, perfect. And, man, so I got to ask you, you know, what is your why. Like, why start three social businesses? Why in the health and wellness? Why yoga and specifically, you know, that organic and all that? Like, tell everybody what your big, deep why is.
The big, deep why, or kind of my mission statement that guides all my actions and my practices, is to inspire a daily practice of health. So that means kind of breathe it in. So inspire for myself, but also inspire almost anybody I walk in front of every single day to have a daily practice of health. And I'd say that is the overarching big why, big mission that guides lots of my decisions on a daily basis.
Amazing. I love that. So what is that transformational moment that has changed your life? Did it happen prior to 2004, or was that the moment that you decided to build all these businesses? We highlight these moments because Mothers Against Drunk Driving was founded because her daughter was killed by a drunk driver. You know, a lot of nonprofits, you know, like the Make-A-Wish Foundation. When I had Frank Shankwitz, who's the co-founder of the Make-A-Wish Foundation, when I had him on the show as a guest, you know, he was saying that there was just this little boy that everybody knew. He said that, you know, he wished that he could be, you know, a patrolman, like, you know, kind of like Chips, you know, like on the bike. And I said, you know what, maybe we can make this happen, but we'll put him in a squad car, you know, I mean, give him a uniform. And so they wanted to just do something special. And it turned into such a big deal that they found other kids that kind of wanted to do the same thing. They wanted their one last wish. They want, you know, whatever. And, you know, and that's how things get started. So I'm wondering, is there a transformational moment in your life that pushed you to the path that you're on now?
Mm-hmm. There are a few, but there's definitely a key one that happened. So pretty much all my life, I was very athletic. I was born into a very well-known business family here in Quebec as well, too. So life was looking pretty good. And to, I guess, get more accepted from my peers and stuff, I started to get into party a bit more and drugs and alcohol. And then at the age of 17, stuff happened in my family. And I started to take the drugs, I guess, for the wrong reasons, start to forget the realities that were going on in my family, starting to forget the pain that was going on inside of me, and using them more as an escape than as fun and a party tool to just have fun. So, and it brought me into this downward spiral where I think it was December 26, 1997. I remember the date quite specifically. I actually overdosed on drugs that day, and the following morning, it was. I wasn't crazy into the drugs, but that day, unfortunately, I took acid on that day. I hope I can be this transparent on this show.
Yeah.
But
yes, absolutely.
And went into this 14-hour bad trip of, you know, darkness, and felt as if I dislocated my mind almost, just very negative thoughts. And I had a big party at my place. So about 100 people were in my house, and I just couldn't leave my parents' room. I just felt stuck. And that the following day, I signed into was kind of like a drug rehab treatment center for drugs and alcohol. Not necessarily the heroin addicts and stuff, but just kids that had gone off in the wrong direction and their fires had gone out. And I remember walking into this drug rehab, and looking myself in the eyes, and just the fire had gone out. I was very outgoing, very athletic, always ready to do anything, and that was gone. And so I spent 3 months in the woods, a beautiful experience with about 22 other young adults, and had never spent 3 months in nature before. I was more of a city kid, and that transformed my life. I didn't know it at that point that it was a spiritual experience, or I have those words now in my toolkit, let's say, but it connected me deeply to nature, to optimal health. And I remember coming out of that experience, and that's where I found my mission. It wasn't as clear as it is now, but I just wanted to share optimal health. I want to share that feeling with as many people. And when I was at that treatment center, I met my mentor there, Steve Sims, who got me into the meditation, the yoga, the spirituality. We co-founded the Padua Center together. We co-founded the School for Marginalized Youth together. He got me into optimal nutrition and superfoods and stuff. So I'd say it's actually unhealth that got me into health, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a great, great story. And something that you had mentioned really really resonates with me in that you said nature. And I'd read something at the beginning of this year that said that just a 20-minute walk in nature through the trees, through a field, like not through like housing, but I'm just like you go out to the country, like you go on a hike up a hill or a mountain, or you walk in the woods or, you know, whatever. I have a friend of mine named Tim Rode, and he says that, like, man, I'm feeling real sluggish. I gotta go get the goods in the woods, you know? And he always takes a nature walk, you know, that it has a profound, profound impact on your health in a positive way. They call it miracle growth for your brain. I think that was the name of the article was miracle growth for your brain. 20-minute walk in nature, connecting with nature has so much health impact.
Yeah. Also in my case, it was 3 months, not knowing these impacts. This is, you know, 23 years ago. And I still almost feel the ripple effects of that, those 3 months, 23 years later, it still feels as if my anchor in terms of my guide, in terms of knowing what health and wellness is, that experience still is in my top 5 wellness experiences of my life. So nature can do that, and there's no real effort. You just need to get out there, and as your friend said, walk through the woods for 20 minutes, and it's not as if you have to do reps or sets or, you know, burpees or whatever. You can add that in, but just by
right.
walking through the forest, it happens automatically.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I was like, yes, like as soon as I heard the nature thing, I was like, heck yeah, man. So you built all the businesses, you know, the center and the nonprofit. So what is it that you do inside of those or right now that helps you to elevate and transform lives?
Wow, that's a good question, because I feel that I'm practicing that on a daily basis. So let's say if we test the Black Youth Network, so that's a project for 18 to 35 year olds. It's 35 year olds now, so we've grown that a bit. We help them with education, employability, and entrepreneurship, so getting them back to school, find a job, or start their own business. I'm there on the board of directors. I help with fundraising. I help marketing. I'm there on a weekly basis to give back to that project, because it's one of my baby projects, let's say. In terms of organic corporate health, I go into the workplace and I give yoga classes at lunchtime. I also give health breaks. So health breaks is 10-minute health breaks, you know, 4 times an hour. So every 15 minutes, there'll be a 10-minute health break, and it can be an hour in the morning, an hour in the afternoon. And I'll get employees, without changing out of their work clothes, to breathe, to move, to remind them how accessible health is, even in the workplace where there's an epidemic of stress and anxiety and fear, because people are disconnected from their health. Health is not accessible in the workplace. So I do that on a daily basis as well. And now in the past few months, I started my own company, a new company, another company, so called Scott Simons Inc., which is not corporate wellness. It's sort of my own sort of creative project, and that has 2 podcasts now, a podcast in English, a podcast in French. I give retreats, wellness retreats, the merch line there. So I feel kind of always on from the minute I get up in the morning. So I get up at 5 and I have a 2-3 hour practice in the morning, and then I give it all I've got until the end of the day, inspiring health.
That's awesome. So I feel like yoga's gotten more attention. Like, I just saw a magazine the other day with like yoga's on the front cover. And do you think it's gotten any more popular now than before? Because I feel like I see it everywhere.
Mm-hmm. It's way more popular. You're definitely right on. In the States, I think it's been popular for a while, definitely on the West Coast. When I started yoga 12 years ago, especially being a guy, I came from martial arts, Muay Thai boxing. I was a personal trainer in the gym. You know, I was 6'3", 215
wow.
pounds. And then I got into yoga, and the first time I was, I didn't even know what yoga was. And then the first Shavasana, the first final relaxation, lying down, I had never tasted that level of relaxation other than when I was on drugs. So I'm like, wow, is this natural? Can I really feel this in a natural way? And that's what got me hooked. I think it was yoga is probably what got me hooked. And from yoga, then I got into meditation. But it's true. Yoga is everywhere. And here in Montreal too, I think there must be, 50 yoga studios in Quebec City now. It's starting to open up. I think because in our times, the truth, If you're in truth, if you're in authenticity, you will survive. If you're not in truth, if you're not in authenticity, you just won't survive. You can see everybody's getting caught these days. If they're lying, even if it's 20, 30 years ago, they're getting caught. And I think yoga and these spiritual, deep spiritual practices, Tai Chi, Qigong, whatever it is, if it's founded in truth, it's going to get popular.
Yeah, definitely. You know what I think is interesting? And a part of yoga, and yoga, I just want to make sure that people understand, for those that are listening, and you do the yoga, like you're sitting there shaking your head like, yup, yoga, like amazing. But for those who are kind of skeptical and maybe don't know, like yoga is not just poses. Like it's multifaceted, it's not just I'm going to pose a different way and do these stretches and exercises. Like there's reasons why you do what you do with the breathing and the poses and everything. But I think what's more fascinating is the mindfulness aspect of yoga is now overseas in Europe. I think it's in Japan. There's a couple other schools in the United States, like private schools, that are starting to utilize that mindfulness, that relaxation period in schools, and they're seeing exponential growth in their students. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so that's so true. So if you're looking at Instagram or Facebook these days, think asana, or sorry, that yoga needs to be handstands and headstands and this and that. And those are what we call the asanas, which means the postures, and there are eight limbs in yoga. And the postures are only one of the eight limbs. So there are seven other limbs that represent what yoga is. And there's meditation, there's breathing techniques, there are the laws of yoga, living in truth and this and that. So it's much more complete. So when you say yoga, it's not necessarily going to a yoga class and getting your mat out. It's a lifestyle.
Right.
And that's where, for example, yep, myself, I'm not super flexible. I won't show off, my pictures on Instagram. They'd be probably a bit embarrassing. However, if you look at my life, that's the life of a yogi, if I want to use that word, founded in truth and authenticity. And I see it in the workplace when I give yoga to these people, when we come back to the breath, when we do mindfulness meditation, it's a beautiful tool for them, because breath tames the mind, gets them out of a stressful situation, gets them into a relaxation situation or a relaxation mode or relaxation nervous system, where the body can heal, where it can regenerate, where it can recharge. And once they feel that, once they start to see how accessible it is, it can turn their lives around. So it's quite fascinating to see how simple health can really be. I think we've complicated health a lot. It's very, very simple.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Health is not easy, but it's much more simple than we think.
Yep, absolutely, man. You absolutely nailed it. So you've gone through quite a bit of a transformation. I mean, you talked about being on drugs and doing that type of lifestyle. What was the best part about your transformation so far?
Oh boy. I mean, the transformation has been since I went to the center at age 19, I'd say I've been on this road less traveled path of discovering my authenticity through exploring. So, I mean, the quick answer that comes to mind is living in truth, living your authentic self, not wearing masks, because I've worn that before, not hiding behind the ego, embracing my fears and my anxieties and my stress as being part of the human condition and not being part of my condition. You know, I've been through depression and burnout, all that stuff. So I've been all over the place. And I think the upside is that this warrior path that I've been on has brought me to the darkness, has brought me to highs and lows. So I experienced what it is, or be more, you know, compassionate with the people that I see on a daily basis in the workplace. And I can feel that they're going through these dark times. So I guess the upside is authenticity, but it's just also this robust travel that experience in the woods brought me on, of deep, deep, deep self-knowledge. And I heard somewhere that self-knowledge is the cure to all disease or dis-ease. And I feel it's definitely very, very true. It's brought me to very deep self-knowledge, which helps me be who I am, who I want to be, and show up and shine, in a sense, you know, every single day when I go to these projects, or I teach, or I give conferences, or whatever it is. So I guess deep authenticity is probably the ultimate benefit of this daily practice and this journey that I've been on.
I love it, man. That's like, you're speaking my language right now. You know, like, man. So with every good part comes maybe something not so good. So what do you think has been the most difficult, or, you know, like the worst part that you've had to deal with during your transformation?
I don't know if that experience, that party where all the people were at my place, and I said that I went into the dark side of, you know, strong drugs. I don't know if it opened up something in my mind that maybe generations before me had not looked into, but it opened up this very mean, judgmental voice inside me, a very crippling, paralyzing voice that I kind of had to deal with from that point. Although it's benefit, looking through, you know, the swamplands of the soul, or those dark nights, these sayings. But when you're in those depressive, very, very heavy times, although they are part of the spiritual journey or the warrior journey or whatever you want to call it, when you're in them, they're extremely, extremely difficult, and you don't know when they're going to end, and they seem so long. And even physically, I'm quite a strong guy. It would just take me down physically, and I wouldn't be able to get up in the morning. And I, even if I had beautiful projects like this and beautiful people around me and all these conditions that from the outside would look so perfect, the inner world was polluted and just needed a lot of cleansing and a lot of love and a lot of compassion. Unfortunately, for the first 10 years, there was more of an inner war. I was fighting against those voices and fighting against that mind. And not embracing it as a wounded part of me that just needed love. You know, I didn't have the wisdom. So I'd say probably that dark path was really, really tough.
Wow. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. Somebody listening is going to need to hear that, because, wow. I mean, me being in the military, like, I know exactly kind of what that looks like, what that is, you know. So definitely I hope somebody listening, you know, takes a hold of that. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, my pleasure. You know, it's part of that epidemic. So many people are going through it. We feel we're so alone when we're in those dark places, but we're far from alone.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so I'm wondering, through your whole journey and the businesses that you've started, you know, who's been your biggest influencers?
I'd say the easy one that comes to mind, there have been a lot of books. I became an avid reader. Steve, my mentor. I was awful throughout school. I failed my way through school. Also failed with me to teach me the love of learning. I didn't know what the love of learning was. I thought it was just learning something by heart and then go to the exam and then fail. And anyway, it was awful sort of learning experience. And then Steve got me into reading. And so I'd say lots of authors like Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, or A New World. He unpacked the ego so I could understand what this voice was, and I wasn't alone with that voice. 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. So Stephen Covey,
yes,
absolutely transformed my life. You know, habit number 1, be proactive. I was a lazy weed smoker, you know, and that turned me into be proactive, start with the end in mind. And those seven habits became a textbook for me and a foundation to all these businesses. And of course, you know, Steve Sims, as I mentioned before, my mentor who kind of demystified those first steps of spirituality for somebody and religion too, even, you know, words that I was not connected to at all. I didn't grow up in a religious family. So I'd say those are, I'd say books. I have maybe 55 books I could think about that supported me. Joseph Campbell as well too, The Hero's Journey, understanding that journey that we're all going through. So he was quite powerful as well too.
Awesome. Yeah, I got some great books that I've read. You know, like you said, like Stephen Covey. I mean, anything, you know, by Stephen Covey is just absolute gold, you know. I read a book years ago, like 2000, 2001, was The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. And that kind of turned me on to, like, what is this positive thinking? Like, what is this, you know, this mindset, this health and wellness type, you know what I mean, mindset. And then there was a book that I read called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And
yep,
it was like
a
book about picking and choosing your battles, which I still kind of struggle with that because I just feel like if I don't like something, people should know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't pick and choose my battles very well. I think that I do, but then after I'm done, I'm like, yeah, that probably wasn't – I probably just left that alone and just shut up in color. But there's some, you know, there's some other ones like The Fred Factor, great book, you know, The E-Myth or, I'm thinking of one. I cannot, besides Simon Sinek, Start With Why, which is a great, great book. That was an amazing book. I'm trying to think of that.
Coming. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, just the, I don't know if you know Stephen Pressfield, I think it's The War of Art. He unpacks resistance because I guess the first, you know, 15 years I was in health and wellness. I loved health and wellness. The last 5 to 10 years, I've been more fascinated by the resistance to health. Why do we procrastinate? Why do we snooze? Why do we not do the extra set, even though we know all the benefits from it? So that resistant mind, the more limbic sort of reptilian brain, 100-million-year-old brain, I've been fascinated by that, and Stephen Pressfield unpacks resistance like I've never read before.
Perfect. It's called Bounce. That's what the book's called, Bounce.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah, and it's like a resilience book, you know. So, and I'm huge into resilience, you know, mental, physical, social, spiritual, emotional intelligence. I'm just so huge into resilience. The book Bounce, that's a great book that I highly recommend that to everybody. So you know, along with the influencers, you know, we have people that support us and surround us and pick us up. And who did you have, who was supporting you at that time?
When I go into those dark places, one of my habits is to isolate myself, actually. I do have family around me. I do have good friends. I just don't like complaining. I feel I'm saying the same old, I feel I repeat patterns a lot. And, I know there's ambivalence and there's doubt. And I guess my mind doesn't want to get judged or to show my weaknesses. So, but all that to say that I do have, you know, two or three or four, I can count them on one hand or maybe on two hands, the number of people that I will open up to when I'm really, really low, because I can put the mask on easily. People will never know what's going on. I mean, maybe some people, okay, he's not on his game, he doesn't know, on his A game, but they won't know that inside, you know, I have these you know, death thoughts and stuff, you know. So, so I've had a few people that I can open up to that I don't feel judged. The second I feel judged by somebody or that they give me advice, often I didn't need advice. I just needed presence. I just needed space. I just needed to laugh, maybe, change my thoughts a bit. And I have two or three awesome friends that I've known for, you know, 20 years. I have a great brother that I've known since I was, you know, actually 5 years old, so 35 years. Those are priceless. You just show up and you know that they don't judge you. It's just you just need their presence. So I have maybe Perfect. Four or five go-to people.
Awesome. Yeah, man. excuse me. I call it the board of directors. I call it the board of directors. Like, you have five areas of your life. Everybody does. Everybody has five areas, which is wealth or finances, health, personal development, personal relationships, professional development and professional relationships, and then spirituality. So if each of us have these five areas all in common, and every Fortune 500 CEO and every major company in the world has board meetings to talk about growth, sales, direction of the company, why are we not building out a board of directors for our life in those five areas? And so that's what I teach when I'm teaching resilience. Like, those are the five areas that everybody has in common. So you don't want to go to somebody who's bankrupt to get wealth building advice, you know, but we do it all the time. You know, we ask our friends, you know, we ask the people who are in college, you know, we ask the dorm lawyers, you know what I mean? Like, we ask the dorm, you know, people, you know, instead of going out and finding like those experts, like professors and people like that, like, why are we asking somebody who hasn't achieved what it is that you want to achieve? You know what I mean? So if I had a health question, I'm probably going to go to you because you're the subject matter expert in yoga and health. And so I'm going to go to you, you know, but I'm not just going to go to somebody and go, whoa, what do you think? Like, that doesn't make sense, but we do it all the time. People Google things all the time.
Yep.
So putting these two to three or four people even in each of those areas. Okay, you're my finance person. Like that's it. You know, Scott's going to be my health person. Like if I have a health question, I'm going directly to him, you know? So I tell everybody, like, man, you know, you have so many people supporting you and influencing you, you know, let's put a name to it. And so the board of directors, you know, everybody should build out a board of directors for their life.
Yeah, I call them the board of mentors. So same. But, and you get people that have succeeded in those, in one of those areas, and sometimes they've succeeded in two or three. But surround yourself by these people. You're accountable to them. They challenge you, and that's how you grow.
Exactly. Yep. Nailed it. So speaking of growing, and I love that you said that because it just kind of ties into kind of what I was thinking. So, you know, we kind of have similar situations where, you know, like, I was drinking all the time and I was living a low life, you know, like, it doesn't take any effort to operate at a low level. So I'm curious, for somebody who is starting over and they're going to transform their life, you know, what would you tell that person?
In terms of for health and wellness or transforming your life, the foundation for me is a breath practice, which sounds kind of weird or may sound weird. It depends who's listening, I guess. But we breathe 20,000 times a day. The breath is the link, as I mentioned before, between, you know, the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system. So stress and relaxation, it's the most effective tool to tame the mind. It brings you into the power of now. You're not stuck in the future or the past. So it's very, very accessible practice. You don't need equipment. You can do it anywhere in the world. So when I'm training somebody, and I've trained people through all kinds of addictions, you know, from alcohol to internet to their phone to whatever it is. And when I'm sitting down with somebody, I don't get them to stop anything, because I tried for 10 years to stop the drugs. It didn't work. What I did is I started health. So if I'm sitting down with somebody, I'll get them to start health, to start a daily practice out of the 1,440 minutes in a day. I love saying that. I'd say a 5-minute practice, a 10-minute practice, or a 14-minute practice, which is 1% of your day. And if they do that, if possible, I give them a 22-day plan. If they do it for 22 days, they're going to create a momentum that will offer them an experience. So health is not a belief. Health is an experience. So if they taste that experience of the benefits of health, even that resistant reptilian brain will start to say, oh, man, this does feel good. And you'll get that ego, that sometimes enemy mind, will start to become your ally. So I'd start, you know, with the breath. And then with a simple movement practice, I'd get them hydrated. I'd get them to start eating food, healthy food that's going to feed them, that the body can read, you know, not transformed, you know, disgusting food, but good, healthy food with phytonutrients if possible. I'd get them to rest. So depending on how far down they are and how motivated and their readiness level, I'd get them going on a plan like that. It's not too complex, super, you know, super simple, accessible, 18, you know, 14 to 20 minutes a day. And I'd also support them as well. So, you know, it takes three things to change a habit. You need a coach, you need a witness, you need a community, and you need rewards. So I'd act as the coach. I'd get them into a community of two or more people that are sharing their practice of getting into health. And then the reward, they can come up with something healthy that they want to reward themselves with for sticking to the plan.
That's huge. That's great, man. Thank you for sharing that. Life Transformation Radio listeners, if anything, I mean, this was huge right now. So if you have taken that in, you know somebody that can use that, send them to this show. Connect with Scott. I mean, this was a major, major value bomb that you dropped, Scott. Appreciate that. Life Transformation Radio listeners, call in 657-383-1109. We are live right now on Life Transformation Radio with Scott Simmons talking about health and wellness, a daily practice of health. And you just nailed it. Like, holy crap, you just nailed it. One of the biggest things that has changed my life is a constant daily habit. And one of those daily habits is gratitude. It's one of the daily habits that I've put in place in my vision, my perspective, my perseverance has increased a lot. I mean, I don't know what to measure. I mean, I can't say 10X or whatever, but I'm telling you that I hunt the good stuff in every bad situation. Everything that happens, I become a master of meaning. And so my daily practice of health is mental health, where I'm practicing gratitude. And, you know, I guess you could say, like, you know, nutrition, you got to eat, you know, whatever. I think it's like a cup of fruit a day, like one or two cups of fruit. And you have to have a certain amount of vegetables per, like, this nutrition chart, right? But what are some of the habits that you have? You know, you said that you find inspiration through the daily practice of health. So what are some of those daily practices that you have?
Yeah, so the optimal day for me, this might sound a bit extreme, but is a 3-hour practice, so from five to 8 in the morning. So 5 to 8 in the morning. So I'll get up at 5 o'clock, and I've done Vipassana meditation 4 times. So that's the 10-day meditation retreat in silence. So I'll sit for anywhere from half an hour to an hour in silence. Then I have a spin bike here. I'll do maybe 45 minutes of spinning just to get a sweat going and get a movement practice going. Then I'll go into yoga, a bit of TRX suspension training, and my own body weight training. So, and then I'll just take a tall glass of water with lemon in it. So lemon tastes very acid, but it actually metabolizes and becomes very alkaline. So it's good to put alkaline nutrients into your body, so that will balance out my pH, you know, as much as possible. I'm plant-based, so I'm not vegetarian or vegan. That I feel can mean a lot of things. So the what plant-based means for me is the base of my life, or my nutrition life is plants. So I try and get as many of those in. Then I'll have a smoothie with almond milk. I'll put maybe an avocado in there. I love chocolate, like cocoa. So I'll put cocoa in there with a banana, with
kale,
chia seeds, hemp seeds, kale. Yeah. You know, what's a plant-based person without kale every day? You know, it's our go-to. So I'll put greens in there, because I'm not the big, I won't have a salad in the morning. I haven't started there yet, but I'll put it in my drink and I won't even feel it. I'll just drink it down. It's like, okay, I just had, you know, my serving of kale for the day, let's say. And it was sort of camouflaged in this smoothie. And that's pretty much how I start my day. I used to have huge bowls of cereal, and that would get, you know, a lot of my sugar would spike, and then I'd be a half an hour later, I'd be hungry. Now when I do this, I can go almost for the rest of the day without eating, but I love eating so much that I'll just eat for no reason because I love eating. But but that smoothie with that practice is a killer combo.
Yeah, you know, you said that, you know, that you eat, and, you know, I've heard this and I've tried this, and I guess it kind of works, because if I really, really think hard, instead of eating, you know, like three big meals or maybe four with a snack, you know, whatever, like I literally just snack like all day, like six little snacks or whatever. And I don't gain weight. You know what I mean? Like I just, it's like my metabolism is going and it's keeping on going. You know what I mean? So if we're talking about health, people talk about the way they feel. Like I'm healthy, like I feel great and I eat healthy, but they don't talk about like your social health. Or they don't talk about your mental health. So if I'm going to start a daily food health, you know, and we get into like nutrition and stuff like that, but I mean, am I balancing it with meats and vegetables? And like, I mean, I can't drink a kale shake. I've tried and it's like, I might have to put in a bunch of cocoa. Never tried that, but it's just like, ugh, like it's chunky. We do the smoothies though. I mean, we do like a strawberry, banana, you know, whatever. Definitely hit up the local smoothie place because they have some amazing smoothies in there, like Jamba Juice and, you know, whatever. But I feel like there's probably a lot of sugar in there. So it's probably not as good as a home smoothie, you know, but if I wanted to get healthy with food, how does that work?
Yeah, well, you know, as I said, plant-based, I think plant-based plants can taste very good. I think there's a way to make the kale taste good in the smoothie without adding too much sugar. You can add in, you know, dates, which are a lot of sugar in dates, but natural sugar, banana is really good. And then, also the amount of kale you're putting in. So I got off meat, or I'll rarely eat meat. I mean, I was brought up on meat, so I love the taste of meat. And if I go to my sister's place and there's meat there, it's hard for me to say no. And sometimes I do like the 90-10 rule or 95-5 rule. Sometimes I'll have meat. But I just feel so much lighter. I don't waste as much energy on my digestion when I'm not eating meat. Right. And also just the violence side of it too. I think there's an animal holocaust on the planet these days. I think we kill 50 billion animals a year or something crazy like that. Until that is taken care of, then maybe I'll start to think. And even in yoga, we were talking about the eight limbs. One of them is nonviolence. You know, so it's quite hard to eat an animal without violence. You know, or even drinking milk. You know, for that milk to happen, the cow had to be pregnant. So that means they're on hormones 12 months a year. They're pregnant 12 months a year. Ask any woman if she wants to be pregnant 12 months a year. Or in that process, I mean, of having those hormones in her and giving milk to her babies 12 months a year. I don't think there are too many women that want to do that. So
I did not know that. Like dairy cows are pumped full of hormones.
Yeah,
like dairy
pumped
cows,
full of
like
hormones, so that they can have the hormones to give milk. So it's as if we were pumping hormones into mothers, so that they could just 12 months a year give milk to their child, you know.
I guess
this brings me into an important key where I feel a lot of unbalance is happening. Is these days I feel there's a lot of awareness about or lack of awareness, you know. So but the more aware you get, the more disciplined you're going to need to get. And the more disciplined you're going to get in life, the more awareness you need to bring up. So the more I learn about the meat industry and the dairy industry, so the more awareness I get, the more discipline I need to do. Because I love cheese. I used to, and milk, I think our family used to go through something like 30 liters a week or something like that. I used to drink a liter a day, and I love that stuff.
You go through a lot
of
milk.
I learned about it
in our house.
Yeah, so it's a real discipline for me not to do it. It's not easy for me not to eat meat. However, when I learn about it, I just can't do it anymore. So I think it's Osho, the spiritual master, who said we must, if we're too disciplined, we'll get rigid. If we're too much awareness without discipline, we become schizophrenic. I mean, meaning we have, you know, too much doubt, too many things going on in our mind.
Right.
So we must balance those out, awareness and discipline. So that's why sometimes it's better that I don't get too aware, because it's transformed my life completely from, you know, meat to plant-based to meditation daily. I mean, 12 years ago, 15 years ago, this was not my lifestyle.
Yeah. No, And you talk about animals. I learned about like free-range chickens over, you know, like I didn't know that some of the chickens are pumped full of steroids because you get these huge chicken breasts, right? I mean, at the store, they're huge. And it's because they pumped them full of steroids and made the chickens bigger because they don't want them to take as long to grow. Like, I need them plump fat, like right now, you know? And so, yeah, I'm afraid to do a lot of the research because some of the research that I did have, I started uncovering things. Like, I didn't know about the cow, and I'm like, what? And then as I research things, I'm like, ugh. And then I feel bad that, you know, I'm eating these things and doing these things, and I don't know how to feel about that.
Movies like Cowspiracy or What the Health or Earthlings. Earthlings is quite an extreme movie.
The McDonald's one. Supersize Me. Supersize Me. Oh,
yeah.
My God. There.
If you go on Netflix, there's one on the sugar industry too. I mean,
yep.
So pretty much these companies, when I say these companies, these multi huge national companies, their only goal is profit. They don't care about your health. You know, so you need to go to either, if you're buying your meat, go to a place where the guy cares about your health and cares about the health of his animals. You know, if I'm not saying don't eat meat, but start eating healthier meat and not the meat that's packaged from, you know, I don't want to say any companies here, but, you know, become more conscious of what you're putting into your body. And another thing on nutrition is when you're eating, a great question to ask is this feeding my body? Is this feeding an addiction? Is this feeding fun? Because now I can have a beer now. I've gotten over my, let's say, addiction to drinking and stuff. And I'll just say, okay, this beer, I'm having fun with the boys and this is great. I won't do that every single day, but when I'm eating my smoothie, I know this is feeding my nutrition. I know it's feeding my health. So I think that's a great question when you're sitting in front of food, or hopefully not sitting in front of the food when you're actually at the grocery store, because that's where you need to be disciplined, is at the grocery store. Once you brought the food into your house, you're going to eat it. So you might as well be disciplined at the grocery store and say, is this feeding my health? Is this feeding my family's health? But also in 2018, what we really need to ask, is this feeding the health of the planet? And that's a huge, huge question that everybody needs to start asking.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. I just literally today learned about some big trash pile heap thing in like the Pacific Ocean off of California, some big, and I guess there's like four or five of these floating trash things where like the current kind of sweeps around and like it gets stopped there, right? I was like, no way is this actually a thing. And then I watched a video of these divers like swimming around like and it's like the one trash pile floating in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of California is the size of Texas. Like, get dumb. No way. And and so research trying to figure out how to clean it up and how to get rid of it. And that's like floating nets from fishermen and like trash from like when Japan had their huge tsunami, like that stuff like flows this way, you know?
For sure.
So it's just like all that stuff. I'm like, no way. So yeah, definitely when you said the planet, I was like, oh my God, like that video was crazy. Yep. So,
increased your awareness. Your awareness went up now. So now, can you match it with discipline? Can you reduce your plastic or reuse something? You know, and get into those R's. You know, reduce, reuse, and recycle. Or you know, can you lift your game up and match that awareness?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I'm gonna try. You know what I mean? And we're really like I was like, man, like the plastic bottles just kill me, right? I mean, we always hear about this thing, like you can wrap, you know, every plastic bottle like around the earth like five times because there's so much plastic bottles and you know stuff like that. So like, you know, we have the filters now. We just do the filters, you know, instead of buying, you know, purified water or whatever in a bottle, we just do like the Brita filter stuff, you know what I mean, for water, so we don't use that much plastic. But But I'm curious, where are you headed now? What kind of new adventures, businesses, family, like what do you got on the horizon? What's your 2018 look like?
So 2018 actually started off where I was thinking of closing down Organic after 12 years of bringing health into the workplace, where health is just not part of the equation. you know, the human being, when you walk into a company, you can feel it. And 99% of the companies I walk into, the human was just not part of the equation. So here I am coming in saying, let's put the human back into the equation. Let's put health into the equation. And it can be a tough pitch sometimes. And you, even when you walk in there and the company wants you there, sometimes the employees, it just feels weird sometimes to bring health into companies because it just hasn't been part of their culture for so long. So actually by putting organic aside, and this tried to do, I think in 12 years, maybe 6 times of closing it down, but it always wants to stay open. But by putting it aside, it opened up Scott Simons Inc., which is a new company that represents myself, my brand, my personal brand outside of corporate wellness. Corporate wellness has been great, but I give retreats. I do so much more than just that.
Mm-hmm.
So 2018, for example, next week, I'm going down to Quebec City to a wellness hotel, giving a retreat there. I've got some retreats lined up with a great partner in Quebec City as well, too. She's a Ayurvedic yoga doctor. So that's a whole other philosophy. Starting the 2 podcasts. So I guess getting into new media, getting in front of the camera a bit more, even though I'm camera shy, but knowing that these, you know, audio and video have so much power, and I feel that the message that I, and the wisdom and the awareness that I have and the level of discipline that I have, I can't keep it to myself anymore. I need to download it somewhere and share it. So I'd say that's where new media, since the New Media Summit where we met actually in San Diego, that's inspired me to bring my game up a notch and get on these new platforms. So so I'd say that's where I'm heading in 2018.
I love it. Definitely. Awesome. So this is the moment of the show where we do a shameless plug. You can plug your friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, your products, your favorite movie, whatever it is that you want to do. Shameless plug moment. Go.
Okay, well, I guess the first plug would be my email. If anybody wants to email me and ask any questions about anything we've talked about, demystifying the first steps of health. So scott@beorganic.com. I think you mentioned it's on the website somewhere. Instagram, I'm quite active on Instagram, at Scott Simons Inc. That's the best place to find me. And then the website is beorganic.com as well. ScottSimonsInc.com. It is not ready yet. I've got somebody working on the logo, but I'd say that I'd love to create a conversation with one person that's listening here that is inspired to reach out and either, you know, cheer me on because it's always nice to get cheered on, or ask a question or connect with me. You know, with this new connection economy, it's crazy how we can connect with the whole entire world. And keep the fire burning in terms of health and wellness. So send me an email or find me on Instagram, and we'll take it from there.
And organic is with a K.
Yes.
Right? When you talk about
K. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
I just want to make that. Yeah. Just want to make sure that, you know, they get to you. So as we wrap up, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action?
I think it's demystifying and simplifying. So as I mentioned earlier, 1,440 minutes in a day, 20,000 breaths. Everybody can add 1 minute to their day, starting with 1 minute. No matter what the practice is, it doesn't matter what it is. As long as it's adding health to your life or the people around you, start with 1 minute today, right now. I don't know how many hours are left before you're going to go to sleep. So it's extremely accessible. And, you know, tame that mind, tame the resistant mind, tap into your potential, and keep adding logs every single day. If you skip a day, it's all good. Go back to the practice the following day. But it's better, I think, to have a 5-minute practice 7 days a week than one solid 1-hour practice on Sundays. That daily practice is what's going to give you the best return on investment ever.
Got it. Perfect. Love it. You rock, man. What a great show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm taking notes. I got one of my things is daily habits, though. Like, I am a daily habit. Like, I got the Miracle Morning. Have you heard of the Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod?
Yep.
Dude, love the Miracle Morning. I do that. I've got daily habits, daily actions. that I take in my personal life, in my business life. And so, you know, now I got more tools in the tool bag, man. So I want to say thank you that we finally got to do this. I am super excited. This was worth the weight in gold, man. Appreciate you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for your patience with the first time. Glad we talked today,
man.
And continue doing the wonderful work. It's good to know that I'm not alone either with some, you know, health warriors.
Yeah, definitely. So any last words before we close the show?
Just keep adding logs to the fire. That's it.
That's it, man. Keep adding logs to the fire. Keep burning. Keep going. Daily practices. Institute
exactly.
a daily habit. That's great call to action. Institute a daily habit and keep at it. Perfect. Thank you, brother. And where can everybody find you? It's all in the show notes, but where do you hang out the most?
I'd say these days, Instagram at Scott Simons Inc. And if they want to email me, Scott at beorganic, beorganic.com.
Love it, dude. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you very much. Ciao, ciao.
Life Transformation Radio listeners, another amazing episode, another amazing and impactful guest. If anything resonated with you, please reach out to Scott. He is an amazing dude, a ton of knowledge. And if you're lacking in your health area, get with him. He's going to set you on the path to success. As we close the show, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the values that you hold deeper in your heart. And I call that living your brand. So until next episode, have a great night.